You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Be in Genesis chapter 8 at verse 15 through the rest of that chapter, and chapter 9 through 1 through 19. Father God, we are so grateful that we have this privilege afresh to come here to set aside from the things that are commonplace. And for this little while now, for the Holy Spirit to do His office work as He takes to the things of Christ, the living Word and the written Word, to unveil to us Your grace. And we recognize now as always our limitations, and therefore we thank You that the Holy Spirit has come to guide us into all truth. May the passion of our life be energized toward that end. We pray, Lord, for a unity of the mind and spirit today, so that we can honestly say, when we leave here, it's been good to be here and to see You demonstrate Your graces and Your eternal purpose. If we don't know how to praise You for these things, but we want to say it anyway. Yes, we pray You rebuke the evil one now, that he not get his nickel's worth in, and we shall be wholly given over to what the Holy Spirit has to offer us. As You cleanse us and sanctify us to these ends, and be very, very careful in our heart as much as we can to worship in spirit and truth with thanksgiving. And because we ask these things in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus, in whose blessed name we thank You. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, 1 Corinthians, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the secrets of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I might add, not necessarily successful, but faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's day. They put that word judgment in there. I don't know really why they did that, but it's the word day. Coming back now to Genesis in chapter 9, 8 and 9. This is the beginning of man's day. It is a day in which God established a covenant with the race, the human race, to be perpetual in this context. Today, when man is the keeper of human government, not because of any great qualities he has, because he opens up the discourse in a very sour note, and also a very happy note. God is not only a God of negatives, but he's also a God of positives. It's too bad when we have to emphasize one or the other and not stick to the real facts. But in any case, when they came forth from the ark, it says that in verse 20, that the first thing that Noah did, chapter 8 of Genesis, the first thing that Noah did was to build an altar and therefore sacrifice. A blood sacrifice, mind you, that put him on a temporary basis where sin was covered. And the reason why, even though the Lord was well pleased with it, notice verse 21, he smelled a sweet savor. The Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. And let this next statement, this is the negative aspect of it, but it's the reality of life. It's real life. I want to tell you about real life tonight. It's the real thing, and it isn't Coca-Cola either. For the imagination of man's heart is evil, evil from his youth. You think you're a pretty nice fella? Or you just call God a liar? Did you ever notice I guess I'm looking for these things. I don't know, but it sure arrests my attention. Particularly on the Donahue show, it comes out over and over what a good person he is. Now, that's what I mean. That's not real life. When you start with a false foundation, irrespective of how logical you may be from then on, you are not going to be logical in the true sense of life. You'll be logical in the sense of those who claim to be good persons. But in real life, that isn't so. The foundation is very sandy, and so you need to be careful how you build on that foundation. Begin to be a real living person, not kidding yourself or anybody around you, because you really don't in the final analysis. Those people you know real well, you know when they're lying and when they're telling the truth, and you know when they're weak and they claim to be strong. Paul used to claim that, and I always wonder what he meant by that. I'm beginning to find out. Not just because he said it, but because it's realistic. In any case, that's the setting, and as a result, God was favorable in as much as he promised them, and this has run through the very time from this jump. While earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest. There'll be cold and heat, summer and winter. Day and night shall not cease. And that's because of the creator of this universe keeping everything in its order. And man doesn't even want to acknowledge that. He's forced to sometimes, but it's a reality. That goes on. It doesn't matter whether you're good or bad, because you're bad anyway. You ain't good. That's going on. And God's faithful. And the instruction, of course, is what they're to do. Go out and replenish everything. Move out and replenish everything. Move on out. And then he gives them a new liberty that they never had before. That is to partake of meat. And of course I have no particular scripture to establish this except of a statement that Timothy makes. I mean, Paul writes to Timothy about. I'll tell you, we'll mention that in a minute. But in any case, the herb and vegetable kingdom was what humanity lived on for 1656 years. They were not allowed to eat of meat. And as a result of that, the spiritual world took charge. And I mean the evil spiritual world too. And by the time of the flood, that the whole human race outside of Noah and his family had been corrupted by the angelic world. Satan's plan was to dehumanize the race. Had he been able to do that, the promise of the seed of the woman would have failed. Because at the flood, the human race was neither human nor anything. It was neither fish nor fowl. We don't realize this, is it? And so God instituted meat to offset. See, no spirit can interfere in your life unless you allow it or ask him in. Remember that. So when you fiddle around with the false spirits, you're working on pretty thin ice. So be careful. That's why Paul warns in the Colossian letter, dabbling into those things that cannot be seen, not understanding what they're dabbling with. I could tell a tale on that and run the chills up and down the back of your mind some often, but I won't get off on that tonight, am I? Anyway, then he made them responsible for that meat, so that they did not destroy flesh just to be destroying it. I used to, when I was a young kid, I used to go get one gun back out in the woods and I'd shoot everything I could find. That's how ignorant I was. And I'd just leave them on the ground. People go out and they get boatloads of fish. Take them home, put them in their freezers till they get smelling and they throw them away. Man should learn to not be hesitant about killing an animal, but for a reason. He's for food and clothing. If you kill an animal, except in an extreme where you got a poisonous animal or something, there has to be a reason for killing it. The same, and God says, I'll hold you for this. Notice. Surely your blood of your lives will I require it. The hand of every beast will I require it. The hand of every man. I will require the life of man. I'll hold you responsible, in other words. Whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. I think about when I used to do that silly thing, killing animals, just for fun. And notice, God's going to require an answer to that. And for a man, to kill a man, you'll answer for it right now. And that's why in Romans, the 13th chapter, turn there hurriedly. I think most of you know something about this, but I want you to get the real force out from the Greek as well as the English. Everybody got it? Verse 1. Romans 3. Let every soul be subject unto the higher, the supreme powers. For there is no delegated authority but of God. And the delegated authorities that be are ordained of God. And whoso therefore resists the delegated authority resists the ordinance of God. And they shall resist to receive themselves damnation. For the rulers are not terrors to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the delegated authority? Do that which is good, and you shall receive the praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for what? For good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. Now, how do you judge the minister of God who is the governor? Is he carrying it out as it was ordained? See, he has no delegated authority to be a tyrant. He has a delegated authority when respected. The man must obey. So you can pretty well see the distinction between what is ordained in God and what isn't. Because throughout history, most of man's governing of humanity has been evil. And that's why they fall. There's never been a righteous government on this planet that ever fell. A lot of them have started with good intentions, with good foundations. Our own nation is a wonderful example of that. We weren't perfect, but we began with God. And it wasn't a false God. It was the Creator. Today, we deny, as a nation, the very foundation that our forefathers were used to build this nation. And you wonder why that we're in the mess we're in right now. And the governor under God is for man's benefit. And that's the whole premise of it, is capital punishment. No man ever killed another man under the ordination of God, ever murdered any man. You see, up until this covenant when Noah was made, God he dealt with men directly. He did not go through any agency. The first man who committed murder on this planet was Cain. And notice, man did not do anything about it. God came down and he put a mark on him, and he gave Cain what his destiny was to be, a fugitive and a vagabond. And no man should touch him. If any man did touch him, the plague would be seven times worse on him than it would be on Cain. But that was a directive from God. God never allowed man to govern man for 1656 years. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And he was evil from the beginning. So what kind of a life do you think he had? That's why culture is very needful. And the culture that you're born in reflects your attitude toward obedience to that which is good and disobedience toward that which is evil, if you know the difference between good and evil. That's what human governments institute were. And today, of course, I don't know of any government on earth that is obedient to the ordination of God. Our ministers of God have all corrupted themselves. And of course, when I say all of them, I say it in a broad sense. And the exception to the rule only proves the rule. That's all. There are men who are godly men who want to be what God wants them to be, who are in places of even high authority. But even there, you see, men are persuaded by the popular trend of things. They follow that. Because why? And God made it very clear at the beginning. Notice, because from the days of the youth up, is their thoughts are what? Only evil continually. So don't be surprised when the man that you put so much hope in turns out to have feet of clay. Now, of course, there are a few of us that are exceptional. But nevertheless, don't be surprised. Don't be taken in by them. Because the scriptures are clear. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. For whereof is to be accounted of? There's only one creature. I dare not call him a creature, all he is. That you can count on every time. And that's the one who ransomed you 2,000 years ago at Calvary. You can put that in the bank. And the bank will be safe, I'll guarantee you. You don't have to worry about going broke. It'll be there. That's the only one. Now, as you travel through life, you learn to know men. You know what their habits are. You know how to act and react. And learn to do that. That's well to know. If you are smart, not many of you are, but if you will learn to do that, you won't get caught very often, except when you get greedy. And then you get blind. I had it happen to me about 7 or 8 years ago. Went down and borrowed $10,000. I was going to get rich. I've been paying on it ever since. Greed. Of course, I didn't think I had that evil beginning, you know. I tell you, I'm learning more down at that penitentiary. You can't imagine. It's something else. Not from anything is said, particularly, but just from what really reacts. I can stay here from now to dark and tell you things that I learned there just by observation. It's something else. It's an education. Anyway, you know, when a government does away with capital punishment, they've done away with law. That's the foundation of human government. It does not mean that if a man kills a man, that necessarily his blood is to be shed. He's to have his day in court. And if he can show that he did it to protect his own life, or that it was an accident, not something that they just willfully killed somebody, and whatever it was, there has to be a justification for that murder. And not for that murder, but for that killing. It becomes murder when he's guilty of murder. That's when it becomes murder. And for that, you have to have a very stringent law. And the Bible tells you, even under the laws of God, back then when God was ruling through Israel, he said, when they have a tender voice, and they look so sad, but they're guilty, don't feel for them that way. Because it's God's judgment that's been passed. It isn't your judgment. You haven't got sense enough to judge. First place, unless you follow orders. That's obedience. So instead of condemning capital punishment. A man that fights for that ought to be given a Nobel Prize. That's why they call them bleeding hearts, you know. They try to stop that sort of thing. And I realize it's possible that a man can condemn man wrongly. But it's a rare thing that that happens. One thing you learn about prisoners, too. They had no business being there. They're innocent. Until you really get to know them. And if they've been saved. And some of those are, when you know the whole story, there for a principle. Now, they're guilty of what they're sent there for, but they're right in the stand that they make. See? And therefore, they feel justified in going to jail. We get quite a few of them down. But they're all innocent. I hardly ever found a prisoner that isn't innocent. Well, that's the establishment of human government. And it will last just as long as man's day lasts. I want to point out that to you for this reason. The days of God's creation are administered through several types of dispensations. Now, we've been in man's day from the day of Noah to the present. And we've had several types of administration. But God has limited the time in which we live for 1900 years to the dispensation of grace, the grace of God. Never forget that. And what he's doing in that demonstration is a demonstration of his secret to his own, so they can see what's going on. See? As it takes place, the mystery unveils these things for us. What we know is going to be the finality of things. What we know will be our end in this economy. And that's perpetual and has been since the days of Noah. And will remain so perpetually in this context until God himself takes over personally and comes down. And all judgment then will not be deferred. Man will not necessarily have a trial because the record's all there in evidence. They don't have to have a trial for him to see the whole story. But judgment will not be deferred with it. It'll be dealt with right then and there. I thank God you got judgment out working that right now. See? This is a demonstration of God's sovereign greatness being written into history. Every administrative way of God is being written into history. So that when time is no more, the record will be there for everybody to see. And every way of administration makes no difference whether it's gracious or how. It always ends in what? Judgment. Every one of them. Demonstrating that man cannot, not only man, but no devil, no demon, no man, no animal, anything can consist without Christ. Believe it or not. See, even the animal world, although in the situation they are not through no fault of their own, they groan for the day the manifestation of the Son of God, when they'll be free too. When the lion will lay down with the lamb and the lamb won't be inside of him, they'll be friends. No dog will ever chase a cat. Well, if you won't, it's time to quit. We're going to deal with some real touchy things about this next week. And this gets to the place of race. Boy. And this is really quitting preaching and going to meddling. And we're going to deal with that next week. And it doesn't matter where you're coming from. You're going to touch on somebody's toes. You can't help it. Anyhow, come along, Harry.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions RightDivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.